throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Paul Jones Drug Tuesday out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We get into some basketball at the end of the show. Elk City wrapped up the regular season last night on the road at Cash. You've got, you know what we forgot to talk about? Yesterday?
No, I mean, Super Bowl is a big deal, but I don't know.
Whatever the hell that was in Norman on Saturday, it was a close basketball game.
Yeah, I actually went back and watched that one.
Oh, sorry.
Saturday night.
Sorry, dude.
I just want to see what happened.
Well, not good basketball.
I was really interested in if they'd showed the Red Solo Cup sing-along, but they didn't. But anyways, no, I actually went back and watched that one.
Oklahoma did win to improve to 6-5, so we can talk about that. Thunder last game before the All-Star break. Bill Self, his toupee is going to go shooting off with this team up at Kansas. It's crazy. A crazy league. We've talked about it ever since league play started in early January, but it sure looks weird to look up at the Big 12 standings and see Kansas just a little past the halfway point with five losses. Well, they've played two-thirds of their conference schedule. And they've got five losses, 7-5. And just got absolutely destroyed last night at Tech. I mean, as much angst as there is around here about, like, you know, OU and how, you know, they're not that great. If they were somehow able to pull a rabbit out of the hat tonight in Baylor, they would be tied with Kansas in the Big 12 standings.
That's nuts.
It really is pretty crazy. And what's even crazier is we can poke fun at Kansas, and it's fun, but they've also beaten Houston, Baylor, Tennessee, Connecticut in this season. It's wild.
That's why I'm not – somebody texts me, oh, is this the year they're not going to win the regular season title? I'm not going that far just yet. They're still – and everyone, I mean, this league's so tight, so I can see them going on a run. But they're not a good road team. It's weird.
Oh, they're not winning the regular season title.
It's very weird how they're bad on the road.
It's not happening. It's just not going to happen. So, sorry, Kansas. It is wild. It's a wild, wild league. We'll do some Super Bowl fallout, okay? So, in the middle segment, talk more of like moving forward and legacies and that kind of thing with Shanahan and Purdy. We kind of broached that subject a little yesterday with Purdy. How long can this last for the Chiefs? Where's Mahomes all time already? And does he have to win more Super Bowls than Brady to be considered the GOAT? And then we'll wrap up the actual game. Biggest plays of the game. What do you think? What is the main reason the game went the way it did in your mind? Either that the Niners lost it or the Chiefs won it. Did you feel like the right team won? And then let's talk about the overtime decisions and kind of where you stand on with the new rules, how you would do that. It sure seems like one side studied it and had meetings about it every single week of the playoffs, and the other one might not have known the rule changed. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else happens, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show by logging on to kadsam.com or download the app. The app's got everything we do. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News will hit the website tonight at midnight. Check it out at thepennynews.com. And then Big Elk and Paragon TV. No more regular season games. We're all playoffed up. starting Thursday in the smaller schools. Merritt Friday kicks off their district tournament at home against Sayre. Saturday, the Elkettes and the Big Elks host Bishop McGinnis in the district tournament here. And, of course, the regionals for A and B rolling through Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So you can check that all out, BigElkTV.com. And then our podcast, anywhere you can find a podcast, Skinny on Sports will also be there. How are you today, Jared?
Good. How are you doing?
Just a tick tired, but I thought the games last night, they went pretty quick, so not too bad. Just a little after 11, arrival back home, so that's not
horrible.
Not bad. I actually went a different direction.
Really?
Yeah, I was...
Like to or from or both?
Going.
Going?
I was hungry coming back, so I went through Altus to get something to eat. But going... So I'm just about to Granite, and I'm looking back in the rearview mirror, and I'm thinking, man, that is a nice vehicle. It looks like an SUV, white SUV.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's Hunt in the school's vehicle.
Yeah.
So he called me as we're rolling into Granite, and he was like, do you know, have you ever been, I can't remember what he called it, the Navajo shortcut? And I was
okay.
Huh. Okay. And so, I said, no, I don't think so. So, I went that way. And according to the Google Maps, it trimmed 8 minutes off the trip. So, you turn at Blair, like right when you get into Blair, Highway 19, you turn there, and you go east, and then you come south by Navajo School.
Okay.
And you get to Highway 62 out there by that giant grain bin.
Mm-hmm.
You know where I'm talking about. It's on the south side of the road. That's how it goes. And because I'd looked... I was thinking, I wonder, you know, we didn't go to Cash this year in football. It's been a while since I've been to Cash. And I was thinking an hour and a half would cut it. And I just was kind of curious right before he called, actually. And I looked at my phone and it said, you know, this many minutes or an hour or whatever to Cash. And so, and then I looked at it again for once we started on the shortcut, and the arrival time was 8 minutes quicker than it was.
Well, I'll be
coming to Granite, so that was nice. So that was maybe learned something, but on the way back, I did not take the shortcut. And then I was talking to one of the fans, and pulled into the parking lot at the same time, Adrian Brewster, and she said she goes through Hobart,
all the way down
54.
Okay,
so she comes, you know, turns, goes to Sentinel. To Hobart and down to Highway 62 that way.
Gotcha.
So
multiple ways. I've always gone through Cordell. And then what's the highway that goes straight down south? Without looking at a map, I'm horrible with those. But I'm usually departing from Canute, so I'll go straight south out of Canute, hit 152, then go over through
Highway 183. Is that what you're talking about?
No. Through Cordell. Is it 54? Am I thinking of 54?
Maybe so. Where do you turn? Before you don't go to Carnegie.
No.
Yeah, 54, I bet.
No, it's a straight shot. I'm going to pull up the map.
Or do you go to Snyder?
Mm-mm. No, I'm further east of Snyder. So let me look here. So I go through one. Yeah, I go to, is that 54? Yes, 54, and I'm going straight. I'll go through Godibeau.
Yeah, that's right. That's where when you're.
And it's just a straight.
I paid attention. I paid attention coming back to where that was on 54, and Godibeau was the, like, you know how it has a sign that says, you know, it says Godibeau right there,
mm-hmm.
And that was where she popped out at onto 62.
Yeah, and the 54 takes you all the way to 62,
mm-hmm.
And over. That's how I've always gone. But that's again coming to and from Canute. But that shot on 54, I mean you. I mean, yeah, you slow down through Godibeau. You go through a small community of Cooperton. You might slow down.
Ah, the major from Cooperton. He was a Tradio guy.
Oh, cool.
Yes, Sam said, went through Friendship, Oklahoma as well. It's actually south of Navajo. There's not a lot at Friendship. I'm going to be real honest with you.
anyway, that was fun. Imagine.
It was a fun new trip. It was so funny because we took off east on Highway 19, and I thought, what is he doing? And then I looked to the south, and I could see those giant grain bins that I always kind of
Yeah.
That you pass if you go through Altus. And I was like, oh, looky here. He does know what he's doing. All right, let's wrap up the Super Bowl. What were, in your mind, just a handful of the biggest plays in that game set on Sunday night?
Obviously, the muff punt was big.
Do we have to call it a muff punt?
What do we want to call
it? I feel like if you call it a muff punt, you're blaming Ray McLeod.
What do we call it?
Because it wasn't his fault.
A turnover punt.
I called it a botched punt.
Botched punt.
Yeah.
Clearly, that was big. I think the I'm sorry, I'm going to go with memory. Patrick Mahomes' 21-yard scamper. Was that in the overtime to set him up to get him down there, or was that? I think it might have been.
Yeah, he was going left
when he had the longer. And that came at a time in the entire game. It felt like they had that part of his game kind of bottled up. You know, they're going to make you listen. You're not going to beat us with your legs. You're going to throw it. And then there he springs that one for, I think it was 21 yards. That was big. The first touchdown of the game was big. And there's multiple defensive plays, I think, for Kansas City that was big because it just kept them in it. And the longer they stayed within even two scores, you kind of had this feeling they're going to stick around and they're going to win this thing, and they did. So those ones kind of stood out for me. What about you?
Yeah, I had the Chris Jones pressures that I brought up yesterday. Mm-hmm. Three different times the Niners had a guy behind the defense or open for what looked like it was going to be a touchdown. And at the last second, he affected Brock Purdy in his face, even hitting him as he threw a couple of times. We got those, that third down play where Spagnuolo dialed up the blitz, right, the play after the two-minute warning, where right before Moody kicked the last 50-whatever-yard field goal. I thought that was a huge play of McDuffie knocking that ball down, because if he doesn't tip it, the Niners have a first down behind him. And then from there, Kansas City's forced to use two timeouts. So at that point, you're going to get the ball with what? 40 seconds left, maybe. And that's if you can keep the Niners from getting another first down, and then they got a game-winning field goal. So I thought that was a huge play. The blocked extra point was obviously makes a huge difference in the way that game was managed. Mm-hmm. Because if that's there, then, you know, with trading field goals, at what point does – what point does Kansas City have to force the issue to score a touchdown? Is it at the end, or is it even before that? Being down four instead of three. You know, it was easy to let Harrison Butker kick field goals because he was tying the game. You never had to make that choice or when to make that choice to maybe go for it on fourth down, or even with Mahomes maybe making a mistake trying to force something because they know they have to have a touchdown instead of a field goal. I thought McCaffrey's fumble on the first drive was humongous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Pacheco did the same thing later on in the second quarter. But, man,
they were going to take the opening drive
and just go right down the field.
Score,
yeah.
And that would have really set the tone, yeah.
The botched punt. And then Braden Willis's hold in overtime was a massive play. Because instead of first and goal, what, inside the five? It now went back to, what, second and 15 or so, and they could not get a first down, which then led to being forced to kick a field goal. I thought that was a massive play in the game for him to – I mean, he reached out and grabbed his arm. I mean, you can – that was – I was having a discussion last night. I thought that the – I thought the officials did a great job. Was there even a review? I don't think so.
I thought –
they had Gene in there
they went for it on fourth down. San Francisco did. I think it was Kittle who dove for it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, he reached it out. I mean,
it was clear he got it. And I thought just out of precaution they might look at it, but
I think they looked at it and went on. I mean, Gene came on there, Sterator, a couple of times, just said, "Oh yeah, they're looking at it. They see it. It's clear as day. There's no reason to stop the game." There was, you know, the use check play. Was that in overtime? I think it was, where he caught it out in the flat. And he had it, and then he dove forward to reach the ball past the line, the line to gain. And when it hit the ground, it popped up. And Des Bryant immediately said, Juszczyk didn't catch it because it was so reminiscent of that Dez Bryant play all those years ago in Green Bay. And then Steratore came on again and said they're looking at it. And I think Romo might have even referenced that play.
Oh, boy.
And Steratore talked about how the rules have evolved of completing the catch to where he's got it, he takes two steps, and then actually kind of lunges with complete control as he hits the ground, and the ball kind of hit on the line out of bounds even. And so that's – I thought the officials were good, but it goes down – like holding is so subjective.
It is.
You know what I mean? You can look at – you know, a lot of the Niners fans are putting on Twitter when Warner is blitzing in overtime, and he gets wrapped up around the waist, and nothing, whereas Willis reaches out and grabs an arm. But overall, I thought the officiating was good and stayed out of the way. They let him play on the lines. They let him play in the secondary. It had to be a penalty for it to be called. There wasn't any of those cheap, illegal contact 5 yards when it's 3rd and 17 and somebody touches somebody, you know, that you see the regular season.
Sure.
And there wasn't any BS going on with roughing the passer, which was nice. You could see Mahomes looking back at the –
he does what he does. Yeah.
You know, after 3 or 4 different plays, and there was one that on a third down that they ended up having to kick a field goal in regulation sometime where I think it was Armstead, 91, kind of came from behind and tackled him and ran through him and landed on him, and I thought, oh, here we go. They're going to give him – but I don't know if they determined he was a runner at that point.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, I thought the officiating was really good.
Yeah, it was good when you forget about the officials.
That's right.
And then – and I'm with you. There's times in the regular season, even the postseason, when there'd be a pass, there, you know, be a lot of hand fighting between both the wide receiver and the secondary, and it'd be incomplete, and I'd stop. I wouldn't cheer or anything. I'd just stop. Okay, I went for the flag to fly in the screen. And then it didn't happen. Okay, next play. It didn't come to that for me in the Super Bowl. It was like, okay, incomplete pass or whatever. So that was good. And it was nice to see no one slipping around on the field.
Yeah, just a couple of times, but it was just kind of
normal.
It
wasn't a story. You didn't see people complain about it.
They started growing that thing outside in December.
Oh, okay. Well, probably great weather in Vegas in December.
Over $1 million it cost to get that. But, you know, if they had.
I'm just south of that when it comes to my lawn.
They would put it inside, and then they would wheel it out. Like, say, if the Raiders are playing, if there was something going on, they'd wheel it outside and let it go. You know, it's kind of a back-and-forth process. I read about that yesterday.
Cool.
What do you think – what was the main reason, either in your mind, the Niners lost the game or that the Chiefs won it?
Well, I think everyone's going to say Shanahan's choice at the start of the overtime. It's going to be like, that's why they shouldn't have done that, and that he needs to be criticized for it. I don't think – I'm more of a broader picture when it comes to stuff like this. And I think it – and I kind of alluded to it earlier. It was letting them hang around, not putting that foot on their throat and squandering opportunities. And it felt like you had these guys on the ropes with the way they were reacting on the sideline, which has been well documented and all of that. And then only able to muster 10 points out of how many possessions. So it just that just letting them hang around, I think, is the big reason why San Francisco lost that game. And credit Kansas City, though. For the longest time, it felt like San Francisco was the better team. And even with the swagger, with the trick play to get that touchdown and all of that, it's like, this is their year. They're finally going to win this thing. But you cannot let a team like Kansas City and Mahomes stick around like that. And that's on San Francisco. Got to execute.
I thought they got away from the run. McCaffrey touched it twice in the third quarter when things were kind of spiraling a little bit.
Right.
I mean, there's a stat that he only averaged 3.6 a carry. Okay, whatever. He still had 160 total yards, 80 passing or 80 receiving, 80 rushing. But I thought the Niners really got away. And this is going to be something we talk about in the next segment when we talk Kyle Shanahan. That's kind of his MO. He blew a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl as the offense coordinator for Atlanta. Why? He wouldn't run the ball. And Mahomes ends up probably the best player on the field. But throughout a majority of that game, I thought it was McCaffrey. I thought he was the most dynamic, the best player on that field until his own coach. It was almost like Dean Smith keeping Jordan from averaging 20 by setting him down. Purdy started out really good, and then he kind of slumped through the middle of the game, and that coincided with not giving the ball to McCaffrey. That to me, that's where and that goes hand in hand with letting the Chiefs stay in the game. And you got to shorten the game. I get it. You're a high-powered offense too, but that guy on that other sideline is so dynamic and so much of a difference maker that you got to keep the ball out of his hands. And when you look at what the Niners did, they get the interception to start the second half. Mahomes overthrew Kelsey, three and out, three straight passes, minus 1 yards. Then force another punt in the third quarter. What do they do? Three and out on what? Three passes from Purdy. Kansas City kicks a field goal. They actually try McCaffrey once, and then two incompletions. So you're talking about nine plays, and McCaffrey touched it once. The other eight were throws by Purdy. And that's a point in the game. You get a pick, and you set up on the others on Kansas City side of the field, up 10-3, by the way. You miss that chance to add to the lead. You force a punt. You miss that chance to add to the lead, and then all of a sudden it's 10-6 on Kansas City's next drive. They get a field goal, and then the punt thing happened. I mean, the Niners' defense, it seemed like they had Kansas City kind of in hell for the first two and a half to almost three quarters. And then the botched punt happens. One play, it's a touchdown. And from there, it was like it unlocked everything Kansas City wanted to do. It was so amazing. It wasn't like they drove it down the field and got things figured out. It was just one play. Mm-hmm. And they threw the touchdown pass. And then from there, the Niners never stopped them. It was so weird how that really flipped everything that was going on.
Yeah.
But I think that the third quarter, not giving the ball to McCaffrey, was the biggest part of why the Niners lost the game. We all know why the Chiefs won, because they have Mahomes. That's an easy answer. Did you feel like the right team won?
I do.
I do too. I really do too. And that's a...
Because I'd be talking out both sides of my face if I said I didn't. I picked them to win it, and I felt like they... were the better team because they had – I mean, it starts at QB1. Nothing against Purdy, but they Chiefs had the better quarterback. And I'm always going to go back to – you know, you think about those opportunities. You can think about it within any game. When you are the perceived underdog, or you are going up against the champ, and you have opportunities, you're always going to go back and think, man, we squandered that. We had those opportunities to beat them, but champs always find a way to win. And I do feel like the best team won.
I don't know the best team won, but the right team won, and here's why. The Niners made too many mistakes to beat the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. They dominated the first half of that game, and really into halfway through the third quarter. But the mistakes they made eventually caught up with them. And they just you can't beat that team making those mistakes. No. You know, on the interception, you get the ball on the Chiefs' side, even if you kick a field goal. Now it's back to two possessions.
Yeah.
And the mistakes they made never really forced Mahomes' hand in the second half. It let him take what they gave him. And we saw the mistakes that he made early on in the season were when he was trying to force the issue at times with maybe not the best receiving core. So, yeah, I think the right team won just because I think the Niners made too many mistakes to win. All right, let's talk about the overtime decision.
Okay.
What do you think?
Of taking the ball first?
Taking the ball first. And the reason, did you hear his reasoning?
I did not hear his reason, no.
His reason for taking the ball first was he knew that both teams got the ball. But it was to get it next. To basically have the hammer when it was sudden death.
Okay.
So say they trade field goals, then he gets it to win the game.
To win the game.
Yeah, that was his reason. And maybe the defense being a little tired after giving up that drive and at the end of regulation. So that was the – he actually did have a reason for doing that.
Other than
– I didn't know the rules. Well, I thought you took the ball first.
Sometimes a coach would just say – just to show – to be aggressive, you know. Say, okay, we're going to go out there and we're going to score first because we're going to do this thing. Let's go. You know what I mean? As a motivational thing.
Yeah, and I think you can also say that you'd rather not put Brock Purdy in the position that Mahomes was in. Meaning knowing exactly what you had to do.
Right, right.
And the pressure that mounts on that.
Takes a little pressure off your QB. I can see that.
To go first.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
Yeah, well, no, it's not a good idea. I think you should have given the ball to Kansas, or deferred to Kansas City, however that works, and see what you got to do. I think that's the consensus, but if it was against any other opponent, I think I'd be okay with it. But not against Mahomes.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because there's a lot of people that think he did the right thing. Just kind of being able to listen, going down and flip it around. And then last night when this was talked about, mm-hmm. You know who didn't think he did the right thing?
Montana.
Chris Jones.
Oh, really?
Did you hear what he said?
No.
He said they were fools. Crazy. What are they doing? But so you start to listen to the reactions from both teams. I don't know that San Francisco, I don't know that the players knew the rule change.
That didn't seem like it.
It whereas the Chiefs, they had meetings all through the playoffs about the new playoff overtime rules. They had meetings all the way through.
Yeah.
To the point that they had a two-point conversion play drawn up. Let's say San Francisco scored a touchdown, kicked the extra point. Kansas City was going for two. With a play already specifically drawn up for that moment. And the reason being, everything Shanahan said about wanting to take the ball first gets taken away. They don't want them to be able to kick a long field goal and win the Super Bowl. They want it put on their shoulders. The Chiefs did. Give me Mahomes needing 3 yards, and we're taking it all day long.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like San Francisco and Kyle Shanahan did a very good job or a job at all
preparing for that.
And what's crazy is they had an extra bye week throughout the playoffs to do it. They did nothing the first week while Kansas City was hosting Miami.
Is it a reprimandable or fireable offense?
Funny you should ask that. Let's take a break. We'll come back, talk. Who do you trust more right now if you're a San Francisco 49er? Front office guy, fan, player. Do you trust Kyle Shanahan more? Or do you trust Brock Purdy more? Talk about that and some other things. Skinny on Sports wrapping up the Super Bowl right here on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal, hanging out here on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Paul Jones Drug is the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City. They offer free local delivery, drive-through pickup, curbside testing and vaccinations, and of course their blister packs, which is that long-term care unit packaging. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust, located at 809 North Main, right here in Elk City. Thank you to Rodney Skinner and all the gang at Paul Jones Drug for being a part of the show on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Okay, Jared, great. I think this is an interesting idea. You brought up the Purdy thing yesterday. Did Brock Purdy do enough in the Super Bowl to kind of stop the questions of whether or not he is their guy. And now, with what happened, with the decision-making, and quite frankly, Kyle Shanahan's history in the Super Bowls, if you don't know, he was offensive coordinator when Atlanta was up 28-3. Now, you can say that was Dan Quinn's fault for not telling him to run the ball against the Patriots, but his offense was a major reason the Pats had enough time to get back in the game because they just threw and would not run the football.
Right.
And then now, twice in losses to the Kansas City Chiefs as the head coach of the 49ers, his team has had 10-point advantages in both of those games. The first time in Super Bowl 54, it was a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. This time, it was a 10-point lead in the first half. But either way, he's lost a 28-3 lead as the offensive coordinator in the Super Bowl and two 10-point leads as the head coach at San Francisco. So my question is this: who do you trust more if you're the Niners moving forward? Kyle Shanahan or Brock Purdy?
That is a good one. I almost want to say Brock Purdy. I think I'm sold on him, even in this loss. As Shanahan appears to be, I don't know, is stubborn the right word to use? It's leaning on his old habits that are not working. Where, I don't know. I kind of think if but who are you going to get? Who are you going to get if you get rid of Shanahan, who's been, I mean, he was praised when they hired him. They said this is a great hire. He's clearly brought them to high success, but something about these big games are giving him a mind block. But it makes you think if you can get someone in there that is more capable, I don't know what the word to use on that one, but would that benefit Brock Purdy more and the team more? So I guess my answer reluctantly is I think I trust Brock Purdy a little more. It's like the front office, like you don't want to fire Shanahan, but maybe make a hire around him. Like, listen, we're going to hire you an analyst. And his one job is to look at the analytics and tell you what to do. And just advise you. Hey, maybe we should run it here. We're up two scores in the fourth, you know, or something like that. Maybe McCaffrey needs some more touches. You know, I don't know. What about you? I mean, it's a tricky one.
Both.
You trust him. You trust him.
Both. As much as we're going to nitpick on Kyle Shanahan here, and we're going to. He's 64-51. He took over the Niners when they were as low as they may have ever been. He went 6-10, 4-12, then 13-3, lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. COVID year, a 6-10, which that just happened. You know what I mean? Like, is the COVID year the only thing that can beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's, forget that the one time they lost was the COVID year.
Well, this is eerily similar to the, have you seen the side-by-side? Everything's happening the same way leading up to the spring of 2020. Got the Chiefs beating the 49ers. I mean, the list is eerie. It's an election year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then he goes 10-7, lost to the Rams in the NFC title game. 13-4 last year, lost to the Eagles in the NFC title game, which I would put an asterisk by that one because of the Purdy injury, and then, of course, just lost the Super Bowl. Now, here's what's interesting, though. We can put the asterisk by the Philly game just because it turned and they didn't have a quarterback to play. But in those other three playoff losses, they've had 10-point leads in all of them. They had 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter against the Rams in that NFC title game and lost it. So there's definitely something there that's a bugaboo with him. But, like you said, who else are you going to get that goes Super Bowl, miss the playoffs in the COVID year, NFC title game, NFC title game, Super Bowl?
Hard to improve on that outside of winning.
Outside obviously. Of Andy Reid, nobody is even close.
No. hard to think about who would, if they had this guy, if they had this coach, that'd get them over the top.
Yeah, this is a ridiculous text. You two being Cowboys fans have no business discussing front office moves. What does that even mean? The Cowboys have as talented a roster as damn near anybody in the game. It feels like that front office has been pretty good. And if they'll just draft the best player, they do that exceptionally well. The times the Cowboys screw up is when they try to pigeonhole somebody for need. When they just draft the best player who's there, they get it right every single time. Every time. I mean, think about how ridiculous it seemed to draft CeeDee Lamb when they had Amari Cooper and all that. We've got Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. Why would you draft CeeDee Lamb? Well, first off, he's the best player on the board. Everybody wanted him to draft a corner. I wonder who that would have been instead of getting Trayvon Diggs in the third round.
Yeah, they've drafted very well.
When they've drafted the best player that's been available to them. When they try to pigeonhole – when they get ran over by San Francisco in the playoffs and they decide, oh, we need a run stopper, and they draft Mazi Smith a round early, that's when things go south. When they just draft the best player, they do exceptionally well. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Niners have clearly built – as good a roster. Think about that trade for McCaffrey. There was a lot of people that thought that was a bad idea because of his injury history at the time. Turns out that worked out pretty well. I don't do anything. I mean, if you're the Niners, think about how close. I mean, they're a blocked extra point. A punt not magically hitting a guy's foot. And Butker made a 57-yarder that missed their guy's arms by just, fractions.
Yeah.
Away from winning that game. I think as much as I think it was ridiculous to take the ball first in overtime against that opponent. As much as I think that's ridiculous. I also, it's hard to argue with the success he's had. He just got one flaw that he needs to figure out how to change on the Shanahan side. And then Purdy, I mean, he's grown on me. What else is he supposed to do?
Yeah, I'm with him. I was on the side of what – at the beginning of the year, I thought, well, we don't have enough sample portion of this guy to know how good he is. But he continues going out and he makes plays. I said it yesterday. I think he played a good quarterback. He played a good role on Sunday. He just went up against Mahomes. So I'm on the side of keeping him.
25-9. NFC title game, Super Bowl in 2 years. I don't know what else you'd really want.
And as far as Shanahan's concerned, there are a lot of teams, us Cowboys fans included, that would love to have that success that they're having.
I would
right
take
now.
Kyle Shanahan in a heartbeat.
I think, and it's still the womb is still fresh for San Francisco fans. And the first reaction is, how do you fix it? We got to make some changes. I don't think maybe the answer is you don't. You want to continue to have that opportunity of playing in NFC championship games, playing in Super Bowls. I think eventually one day you're going to break through. But I think it would be an overreactive move to move on from Shanahan.
No, I do too. No doubt. I mean, San Francisco's like a level up from Dallas.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Their struggles. Dallas is struggling to get to the NFC title game for obvious flaws. San Francisco's struggling to beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl for obvious flaws. How long can this Chiefs thing last?
Well, that is – so as long as Mahomes is there. Let's just put it that way.
Have you seen he's restructuring his contract?
No.
He's going to restructure his contract and kind of take the Tom Brady route. Here's what's nuts. 2 years ago, Tyreek Hill went to Miami. And everybody was deciding that the Chiefs, they were planning the funeral of the Chiefs and their offense. And has it been as good as it was with Tyreek Hill? No, it hasn't. But it's also been good enough to win two Super Bowls.
That's just a scary statement you just said. It hasn't been as good without Tyreek, but good enough to win two Super Bowls. That's scary.
I think everybody ought to be damn scared about this year, because this team, this is as bad as they're going to be for a couple of years. And that bad was winning the Super Bowl at 11-6.
Yeah, that just goes to show you whatever happens around Mahomes maybe doesn't really matter.
Well, he,
you know, I mean,
he's so good it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so when Kelce retires, does it really matter?
It's hard to say it won't because of how much he relies on him, but it's also hard to say it will because he's doing it with Rashee Rice and Justin Watson and Marquez Valdez Scantling and Noah Gray and Blake Bell. I mean, who are these guys? Very similar to what Brady was doing. The difference is Mahomes had his Randy Moss early with Tyreek.
Yeah.
It took Brady the better part of a decade to get Moss. And then we saw the full capabilities of that, and it really should have, it should have been an undefeated season when you gave him a weapon like that. I think the Chiefs have been really, really smart the way they've done this, is they have all that youth on the defensive side. You know, they tried the Edwards-Helaire thing as a late first round pick, didn't really work, but then they find Pacheco in the seventh round. I think the one thing that they have to do, and this is Mahomes' health too, that their tackles aren't, they need to get better tackles on the offensive line. I think their interior guys are really good. I think their tackles are a little suspect. There was a definite drop-off from Orlando Brown to whatever they had at tackle this year. But it still was enough. It still was enough. The answer is the Chiefs ain't going nowhere.
No.
How long is Andy Reid going to do it? 65? Doesn't look to be slowing at all. I mean, how would you leave? If you're Andy Reid, how in
why
the world
would you?
Why would you? Unless you just thought, you know what, I've had enough.
I mean, it's like we're going to have the same conversation about him like we did about Belichick when at the height. It was Belichick going to walk away a champ. He's going to walk away at the height of coaching. And he didn't. But and maybe Andy Reid saw how that went. I'm not suggesting that Mahomes is going to leave for Tampa Bay or anything, and then Reed's going to be left fending for himself in Kansas City. But I think as long as Mahomes is playing in his prime, why would Reed walk away?
Well, there's no way he's doing it this year.
No.
Because they have a chance to be immortals. Mm-hmm. Football immortals in the same way that Dolphins team still is. There's only been one undefeated. And if they can win again next year, there's only been one three-peat. It's never happened. So you get why he would come back. But, I mean, if you three-peat, is that good enough? Do you just – I know we're going to talk about Mahomes his entire career. At what point do we start talking about Andy Reid as the best coach of all time in NFL football?
Get that three-peat. I mean, he's up there right now.
You know what's pretty interesting? We always talk about, and we will when it rolls around to August, September, when we start picking division winners. And the first thing we'll say is, well, I'm taking the Eagles, or I'm taking the 40, or the Giants, or the Commanders, whoever. I'm taking everybody but the Cowboys because no one's repeated in that division. You know what's interesting about that?
What's that?
Andy Reid's not there anymore. When Andy Reid was in the NFC East, he was dominating it.
That's true.
With the Eagles. Dominating. Now, he's moved on to the I don't think there's any – there's definite correlation. Because now they're dominating the NFC West. Yeah, I could actually see him, if they win next year, saying, you know what?
Yeah.
That's good enough. That's a three-peat. We've never done. No one's ever done it. I can ride off. You want to talk about riding off into the sunset at the highest of highs, you can do it right then. See you, bye.
Yeah.
That's 4-6, 3 in a row. What else you want from me? I'm going to go find the best cheeseburger I can find.
Well, the way it sounded on Sunday after the game, Patrick might not let him.
Oh, that's true, too.
Retire.
Is there any surprise that a guy like that has a play called Corn Dog? And he said this, you know, that was the play last year that they ran for a touchdown. This one had some mustard and ketchup on it.
That's funny.
On the last play. Where's Mahomes all time right now?
He's up there. You know, there's the GOAT, Tom Brady. So you immediately want to compare him to him. And I looked this up. Tom Brady was 27 when he won his third Super Bowl. Here's Mahomes. He's at 28. So there's that kind of parallels right there. So if this continues, he'll be right up there shaking his hand with Tom Brady. I would say, like, all time? You ask me all time? Not a lot of people have won three Super Bowls, especially before 30. I'd easily top five. I could maybe say four.
Yeah, who's in front of him?
I'm thinking. Brady, Montana. Aikman. And then Patrick. Is that fair?
Oh, I think he's way better than Troy Aikman, and I love Troy Aikman.
I went with, you know, the Super Bowl numbers.
Well, Terry Bradshaw's got four also.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love Troy Aikman. Love him. But physically gifted, Aikman could sling. I mean, he was awesome. But there's no way I'm putting him in front of Patrick Mahomes, which is crazy. But, did you see what Aikman tweeted back when he won the first one?
No.
Or before he went, like, going into the first Super Bowl he won. He said, at me when he gets a third of the way to my Super Bowl rings. Well, Troy, now he's 100% of the way there. Can we at you yet?
He'll gladly take it.
I think for me, it's Brady 1, Montana 2, and then a real big fight in my mind between Mahomes and Elway.
Elway's in there, yeah. It's hard to rank a guy that's still playing with the guys who have already retired.
Yeah.
Their careers are done and set in stone. That's why it's hard for me.
Yeah,
ask me this question when in 15 years when Mahomes finally quits.
Yeah, you got to try to project a little bit.
Yeah,
because of the trajectory.
There's
that
a lot of unknowns. A lot of unknowns. You know, we just mentioned the Reed thing. You know, that's a perfect pairing. What happens when he retires? Does it continue, or who fills in that role, and does it still gel well with Patrick? So that's why it's hard for me to. But he's easily – that's why I said he's – I mean, I could easily put him right now top three, top four. It's just I want to have this conversation again when he's retired.
I would probably put him third ahead of Elway, behind Montana and behind
– Brady.
Brady. Yeah, it's a great point on the text line. Back then they got to hit the quarterback. I mean, that's another thing that I think helped Brady, and it's definitely going to help Mahomes. Got tied with Manning. See, I, as much as I love Peyton, I think Mahomes has surpassed him on the list. But that's what's cool about this. Almost because it didn't feel like we were going to get to have the GOAT conversation at quarterback ever again because of what Brady did at the end. Tacking on four at the very end of his career the way he did.
I know we don't have any time for this conversation, but is it good for the league to go from one GOAT almost immediately into the next?
Oh, yeah.
They're loving it. Wouldn't we want – oh, the league loves it. But as a fan, wouldn't we want like 3 or 4, 5, 6 years of just –
Nah, let's keep on rolling. Because then you get to have this conversation. It actually gets to happen again.
Yeah.
When there's someone that seems like might actually challenge the throne of Tom Brady.
Yeah, it was how many years before that conversation was even had about Michael Jordan.
Right.
Right? And now we're having that because of LeBron James.
Well, you can have it.
And maybe...
I'm not having it.
Well, I'd say we.
I know what you mean, though.
People are talking.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now, again, that's why I asked the question. Is it good? Was it good for the NBA to have that long gap? Is it good for the NFL just to go from one dominant quarterback that never seemed to lose to another?
Oh, I think it's always good to have that. I mean, the Chiefs are – it's starting to turn, and I think part of it is Swift. Part of it is people getting tired of them, but they're starting to become kind of the heel, the wrestling heel, the team, the villain, because they've been so good and has so and have had so much success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in your mind
– last night, by the way, was funny, watching the Kansas-Texas Tech game. Texas Tech fans were doing the Chiefs chant. Oh, I was like, well, is that the Kansas fan? Are they? Is everybody doing it? Because I'm sure a lot of Kansas fans were Chiefs fans too.
Oh, yeah.
But it was in Lubbock, you know, where Patrick Mahomes went. I thought it was funny.
Does Mahomes have to pass or get to Brady ring-wise to be the GOAT?
I feel that he does. Because what if he keeps – what if he
– So if he gets six Super Bowls – and just dwarfs Brady's numbers, it still doesn't count?
Oh, you mean if he
gets
equals to the amount?
No, Brady's got seven.
Okay, if he gets to six?
If he wins six Super Bowls, it dwarfs his numbers. Now, some might say, Aaron, you're talking about both sides of your mouth here with the LeBron Jordan thing. Here's the difference. Brady lost in the Super Bowl. Jordan didn't. Because LeBron's numbers are going to dwarf Jordan's. But Jordan never lost the finals. Brady did lose in the Super Bowl three different times. I don't think he has to. That's my point is if he wins six Super Bowls and the numbers he's going to put up, I think that's a real good chance that he may surpass him. And he may just end at three. Who knows? It's hard to imagine that. Like if I gave you over under five right now.
Oh, don't do that. In his career?
In his career. Over under five Super Bowls. Would you take over or under?
Oh, come on, man. He's 28. You're asking me if he's going to win two more before you said before it's all said and done? Yeah, over.
So you think he's got three more in him at least? Over five?
Yeah.
Four and a half would have been too easy because you'd have taken the over for sure to get to five. I think he might settle on five. Maybe a push. We'll be back.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal, wrapping up a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Rodney and the gang at Paul Jones Drug at 809 North Main. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. They've got the convenience packaging. That's individually packaging your daily medication. So no longer do you have to get your pill caddy out at the first of the week or the first of the month and put all the different pills you take on the right day in the right dosage. No. Convenience packaging does that for you. Durable medical equipment is your walkers, canes, and crutches and wraps and braces. Most insurances are accepted. And it's not just the medical stuff, Jared. We've got some great gifts, greeting cards. Valentine's coming up. Maybe your wife needs some perfume. Go down there and get that. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. 809 North Main. We appreciate Rodney and the gang at Paul Jones Drug. Okay. Bedlam basketball. They didn't really hit on that yesterday. so much going on. It was not an aesthetically pleasing Bedlam matchup. It was a very close game.
It was Bedlam.
It was. It felt like Oklahoma State had an answer for everything Oklahoma did. Oklahoma was terrible at the free throw line until they weren't down the stretch. But the Sooners fell behind, 56-52? And they ended up, they went on a 9-0 run to make it 61-56 with about 2 minutes to go. And that was enough to hold on and win 66-62 over OSU. So now 6-5 in the league, which puts them in the top half. You know, with some of the games, they have to go to Stillwater. They host Cincinnati over the last, seven?
Baylor tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to think of winnable ones. Like,
oh, I'm sorry.
The high, you know what I'm saying? Like the ones that you think they have a really good shot at winning. You know, two wins away from getting to 8-10, which is puts them as mortal locks to make the NCAA tournament. But I think maybe at this point, you know, Baylor's going to be an incredibly tough game down on the road in this league. But without just barring just a total collapse, I think the Sooners from this point are going to be an NCAA tournament team, and now maybe win a couple of games that you're not supposed to, which could be, you know, either Kansas or Houston at home, at OSU, at Cincinnati. All of a sudden, you finish 9-9 in this league, or maybe even get to 10-8, which is a tough ask. But 9-9, and you know, you're looking at maybe a 6th seed at worst.
Maybe get a win in the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, that would certainly help.
Depending where you're seated, which is still, I mean, crazily up in the air.
Oh, yeah. No, you could be anywhere still.
Never know where who you're going to play based on your seed. I think they're in the tournament because of how tough this league is.
They can't lose every game from here on out.
No, they can, and they're not. I don't think they will. And you see how Kansas plays on the road. I mean, we'll see how they come out. They can't have these continued slow starts and hope to recover from. Although it's been nice to see them come out the way they did against BYU and win. Oklahoma State was a struggle late, but they found a way to win despite the shooting woes. But it's for a program. It's hard to say that in the portal age. You know, it's a next step for the program, get to the NCAA tournament. Well, because next year will be a totally different team, so it's kind of hard to say that, but get them in the NCAA tournament, and I'm going to keep leaning on the fact that this is such a tough league. Get into the NCAA tournament. Maybe that first round, maybe first two rounds, opponents could be winnable, but it depends on what seed you get. You know, if you get you have to play the one seed in the second round, that's a tough ask, whoever that may be. But when they're shooting and they play and they can shoot well, it's a really, really good team. When they're shooting.
And don't turn the ball over. The turnovers are almost worse than the shooting.
That is.
Because the turnovers lead to easy baskets on the other end. They guard you pretty well, but when the other team has easy ones. Yeah, I mean, they're nowhere near the 11th best, or even, I guess they were up to number 9 at one point in the rankings.
They were
clear to 7 at one point. They're not that.
At one point, that whenever they were ranked like,
I thought they were like number
7
against
or 9
North
or something
Carolina.
Like that. And it was. I remember if they can win against North Carolina, they could probably, because there's some teams above them that mm-hmm. lost. I thought they're about to be a top 4 team if they can win this game.
Yeah, and that would. They're not that good. They're just not. They're somewhere in that 20 to 30 ish range.
But what is nice is that last year you. As an OU fan, we would go in the games thinking, well, here comes another loss. So they're clearly better than what they were last year. I think Porter Moser needs a lot of credit for that, for finding the pieces to put together this team that now when they go into a game, you think, what's going to happen? It's not, well, that's a guaranteed loss.
No.
Outside of maybe a couple games, but you know, Houston's going to be tough, Kansas is going to be tough, but they are in Norman. Baylor tonight's going to be incredibly hard at Waco. But it's still a game I'm going to be interested in. Like, well, what's going to happen? It's not, well, here we go again.
Yeah.
So I think Porter Moser deserves a lot of credit for that. Because I, in my opinion, I don't know how hot his seat was, but the opinion of him was, well, he better do something this year. It's his third, fourth year. But I think he's showing us that he is a good coach. He can build a team. If you give him a team that he built, he can compete with them.
I'd have fired him after last year.
Would you be?
Mm-hmm. I would have. I didn't have
any. Think I'm nicer. I think I was giving him one more year, and this was the year.
I just didn't think that there – I didn't have any faith in him being able to recruit athletes that would play in this league. And he has proven me completely wrong. They're athletic enough to play in the league. Now are they – Now the hard part is getting the athletes that then can all also be basketball players, getting NBA type guys in there. Do they have an NBA guy? Jalen Moore maybe. Oway's got a ways to go. Uzon's got a ways to go. But at least they've got guys where you can go. If they could get better, maybe. But yeah, it's been a really good year, I think, for Oklahoma on the basketball floor versus what we thought it might be.
Well, that's true.
They're much better. What were they picked, like 11th in the league or 12th?
Yeah, they were almost dead last, and they've exceeded that. So,
And they've got guys committed or signed even that are pretty good.
That's what I'm trying to dig up
right
now.
Top 100s.
Yeah, they got a couple guys coming in.
So, better. Oklahoma State, I don't know what they're going to do. Sad deal. It's a sad day in Stillwater on the basketball floor. They played hard. Here's the deal. They play hard. They can't shoot. Their offense is just abysmal, man. Golly, it's bad. I mean, at one point, the announcers even made the point, and it was in the second half, maybe even in past the halfway point of the second half, where they were shooting 25% and were ahead. Which is an indictment on OU in a lot of ways, too. But
I was going to say, that's not a good sign for anybody.
Well, they were shooting so many free throws and getting themselves to the line that was keeping them in the game. But Thunder tonight, last game before the All-Star break in Orlando. And then also last night, Elk City Hoops ended up the regular season. The Elkettes finish 11-13, 10-5 after Christmas. They've just gotten better and better and better and better. They went 51-30. The Elks played a horrible second quarter, and they couldn't recover. The other three quarters, I think the difference was like 6 or 4 in the first, third, and fourth quarters. But that 22-3 second quarter was the difference in the game. So the Elks have got to figure that out, obviously, with Bishop McGinnis coming to town Saturday for the district tournament. All right. Step aside, move on, finish up Paul Jones Drug Tuesday tomorrow. Jared, give you a little heads up.
What do we got?
What are your favorite games that are coming up on Thursday?
Oh yeah. I was looking at that yesterday.
Which games can you not wait to see? That doesn't just have to be here. It can be all the way around the state.
Sure.
Class A and B, boys and girls. Everybody have a great Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow right here on the Skinny on Sports.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way back, goodbye.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.